Good morning, and welcome to Green Thumb. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Samantha Forbes, reading from Garden Gate, Horticulture Magazine, and other sources of gardening wisdom. Today's reading of Green Thumb is brought to you through the generous support of Magster.com. We begin with our first article from the March to April 2024 issue of Horticulture Magazine, King of the Hugel. Gardeners are finding new uses for the time-tested technique of Hugel culture. This article by Erica Brown Grieves. Gardeners are taking notice of an ancient gardening technique said to reduce watering, need less fertilizer, improve soil diversity and quality, and sequester carbon, all while saving time and money. Called Hugel culture, a German phrase which translates roughly as hill or mound culture, its central principle combines soil and wood to create a sustainable, low-input growing system that can be adapted to suit various scales and climates. As the wood decomposes, it acts like a sponge, supplying the plants with water. The original purpose of this centuries-old practice was to make use of woody material to help build soil in cold climates. Popularized by Austrian permaculture expert Sepp Holzer, it has been widely embraced in the permaculture community. Now, mainstream gardeners are discovering its benefits too. Amid the challenges of climate change and the rising costs of soil, building materials, and fertilizer. How it works. The typical use of Hugel culture is as a self-sustaining raised bed, edged or not, built from materials that you can likely find at little to no cost. You start with layering logs and branches at the base, interspersed with higher nitrogen material like grass or weed clippings or manure, and topped with high-quality soil or compost. A commonly cited ratio is 70% woody material to 30% green material, such as grass clippings, non-invasive weeds, or compostable kitchen scraps. The physical shape of the Hugel can foster new microclimates, supporting an intensely biodiversity of plants and microorganisms. Mature-loving plants can grow at the base, and herbs like rosemary and sage that prefer drier conditions can sit at the top. If there is a shady side, you can have a longer-lasting crop of lettuces there. It sequesters your carbon at home rather than having it picked up from your yard waste bin. Hugels can act as a windbreak or improve drainage and growing conditions over compacted or poorly drained soils, like in urban areas or new building developments. Much like in a compost pile, as microorganisms break down, the woody material, the Hugel itself, may settle or sink. The longevity of the bed will vary widely based on its materials, the crops being grown on it, and the environmental conditions. A small bed may decompose in 3 years, while farm-scale Hugels can last decades. Over time, the balance of nitrogen and the pH of the mound shifts to become more acidic. Supporters say properly constructed large Hugels need next to no supplemental water, even while transforming the harshest environments from urban streets to deserts, or even industrial waste sites, into lush oases. Though they're often used for food production, experts say you can also grow perennials, flowering annuals, trees and shrubs in a Hugel bed. Trees need to be sited carefully and their roots surrounded by soil. In response to people who say they've tried this without success, experts noted that Hugels can take some practice or guidance to get right. Common mistakes are not having enough green material, too many air pockets, and having too little soil on top. Just like with a compost pile, you can't just throw on some sticks and expect to have soil in 3 months. Pushing the boundaries. Gardeners around the United States are finding new uses and interpretations of the practice. Paul Wheaton, an author and the permaculture expert behind www.permies.com, says, "I think hugel culture is the most powerful tool in my tool set." He has created small-scale hugels in Seattle parking strips. Recently, he surrounded his current Montana home with them. Wheaton trained with Sepp Holzer, and like Holzer, he likes his hugels tall, at least 7 feet high if possible. He says this height enables them to go without water for weeks or more at a time. "I live rurally on hundreds of acres, but where my house is, it's basically a giant rock," says Wheaton. "I built a hugel 11 feet tall and about 8 feet wide. Before, growing a garden there would be pretty impossible, but now I have beautiful, lush, amazing gardens. I've probably doubled my garden space, dramatically extended the growing season, and made all my horticulture jobs 10 times easier." Wheaton's method starts by cross-hatching woody material together for structural integrity, filling with blobs of kitchen scraps, native soil and weeds, and finally topping with the best soil or compost available. Ideally, that will be native soil or homemade compost. He says a blotchy build allows for better water movement than do lasagna-style flat layers, which can become hydrophobic. He waters his hugels for the first 2 years to get them established. If you are starting with poor soil, no worries. It may take a little longer, but the microbiome will come. Wheaton recommends planting with potatoes to get started, which are not heavy nitrogen feeders. Designer California-based environmental Lee Adams of L. Watson Design Company and Studio Petrichor starts with sunflower plantings, both to activate her beds with roots that will aerate compacted soil and to have something beautiful growing while the hugel builds enviable tilth. Adam's interest in hugel culture began with noticing that when a tree falls, new microbial life returns not where the tree stood, but where it fell. Adams created a hugel culture demonstration garden at the Los Angeles County Arboretum and Botanical Garden in 2015, during the worst drought in the county's history. The administration was skeptical and planned for the garden to last 1 year. Yet it still stands today, boasting 4 hugels on 1 acre. As an example of a water-saving, regenerative landscape, it's a main attraction. The oldest is 11 years old, probably close to 50 feet long, and it was over 6 feet tall when it was built. "Now it's maybe 4 feet," says Adams of the garden's hugels. It's covered with native plants and trees that have never been watered, which is quite a feat in Los Angeles. More than 3 dozen native bee species have been counted feeding there. She says she is inundated with requests for hugels in her work with regenerative design firm Studio Petrichor. In another project, she is using hugel culture in a soil remediation project of brownfields adjacent to the Los Angeles River with Metabolic Studio, using the help of fungi. "By using logs and biomass and inoculating those with specific fungi, we can undo some of the damage and also restore carbon to the soil," she says, noting that carbon means water in the soil, which means life. Her method involves excavating soil on site and layering pieces of clean cardboard without staples with green waste before topping with soil. She also uses large logs on top, but stresses that they are held in place with exterior terraces of stone and smaller logs. Dancing on the hugel with each layer is a crucial step towards building on a strong structure, she says. She doesn't recommend placing them on hillsides because, if not well established, they can become hazardous in floods. Branching out. Lee Adams says her colleague proposes a new name for all the permutations of hugel culture: carbon culture. For instance, Adam says you can adapt hugel culture principles to raise beds and other containers, keeping the proportions of the material in mind. She has installed hugels where there was no soil, atop asphalt in a school garden. Permaculture author and instructor Matt Powers digs his hugels into ground trenches, tamping down well to discourage animals from nesting in air pockets. It's pretty critical you bury it deep enough with a clearance of 1.5 to 3 feet of dirt, he says. You can grow just about anything, but it's influenced by the soil you put on it. To jumpstart the breakdown of nutrients, he inoculates all his mounds with fungi. The turkey tail mushroom is a favorite that works in many areas of the country. In Burlington, Washington, flower farmer Sarah Wagstaff has been growing her crops in hugel beds for more than 10 years. At her Suat flower farm, which stands for small units of time, her hugels overflow with woody shrubs, dahlias, and perennials, as well as herbs like rosemary, oregano, breadseed, poppies, and sage. These are sold in bouquets and bath salts and harvested for seeds. She started with hugel beds totaling less than an acre and is now scaling up on a new 66-acre property in the fertile Skagit Valley. The first hugels incorporated nature materials collected on-site from downed trees, windfall, and chipped cedar boughs. Wagstaff looks forward to experimenting with hugel hedgerows, pollinator-friendly mixed shrub borders traditionally seen edging farmland of the United Kingdom. There are so many benefits to hedgerows, she says. They offer windbreak and habitat. Anytime there is an edge, there is an abundance of diversity in life, she adds. If I can create refuges and shelter belts to attract many different species, it will encourage wildlife to continue, to linger, to thrive. One of the superpowers of hugels is their long-term impact, she notes. I'm not planning for this year alone. I'm planning for 7 to 10 years down the road. I'm purposefully including trees that will take many years to decompose in the berms and plants that will take many years to mature. There are photo captions accompanying this article, the first of which, Washington State flower farmer Sarah Wagstaff has grown flowering shrubs and perennials as well as herbs in hugels for over a decade. This image shows one of her original beds. She is now expanding her Suat flower farm on a 66-acre property, which will allow her to further experiment with hugels. Next, hugels and bioswales completely cover this home landscape in Pasadena, California, another Studio Petrichor project. The front section is watered every 3 weeks. Below, a work-in-progress image shows how an evolving topography of hugels employing wood, stone, and soil to create planting terraces and pathways through the front yard. Next, twiggy material like cedar branches and foliage can go into the middle layers of a hugel, while thicker logs contribute a sturdy base. Hugels were traditionally used for edible crops like garlic, but they are now finding homes in ornamental landscapes, too. Above, a hugel process at the Washington Flower Farm of Sarah Wagstaff. There's also a list of resources. Learn more about hugel culture and see the work of the sources interviewed of this story. First, Sepp Holzer's website, www.seppholzer.info. Paul Wheaton's permaculture site and forum, permies.com, Matt Powers' permaculture teaching site, www.thepermaculturestudent.com, Studio Petrichor's website, studio-petrichor.com, Suat Flower Farm, www.suatfarmandflowers.com, the Los Angeles County Arboretum and Botanical Gardens Crescent Farm, www.arboretum.org/crescentfarm/. Learn about bioremediation through hugel culture at Metabolic Studios' Bending the River project, www.metabolicstudio.org/bending-the-river/farmlab. This article, King of the Hugel, Gardeners Are Finding New Uses for the Time-Tested Technique of Hugelculture, by Erica Brown Grievous, in the March to April 2024 issue of Horticulture Magazine. Continuing in this issue, just add carex. Sedges make valuable companions for showier perennials. This article by Shannon Curry. Sedges have enjoyed unprecedented attention in the last few years. Articles in the Washington Post, 2017, Horticulture in 2022, and Landscape Architecture in 2023 introduced many gardeners to plants in the genus Carex, which are commonly referred to as sedges. While there are colorful, variegated selections from Asia that have been in cultivation for decades, it's the North American natives getting the press. A 2023 trials report by Mount Cuba Center put them squarely in the spotlight. The research team evaluated 70 different species and cultivars of native carex for the Mid-Atlantic region. That may seem like a big number, but it's a fraction of the more than 500 sedges native to North America. Given the range of species, there is a sedge for every landscape situation. However, the availability of native sedges may be limited depending on where you're located. The horticultural industry is aware of this and is eagerly bringing more of them into cultivation. The attention is notable given sedges' low-key appearance. Their flowers tend to be small, and only a few species have showy blooms. Rather, their strength lies in their grass-like foliage and unfussy nature. They are perfectly suited to a supporting role in the garden. Sedges' varying shades of green provide a backdrop for flashier flowery companions. The narrower blades lend visual texture that contrasts beautifully with broader-leaved perennials. They're relatively easy to grow and don't require a lot of attention. They're also go-to plants for partial sun to shade, where turf and warm season ornamental grasses struggle. Although they're beautiful in their own right, I think of sedges as the backup singers of the plant world. They're not usually the stars of the show, but they tie it all together and make the performer in the spotlight shine. They're the foundation for successful combinations. Carex, carex everywhere. Carex is a versatile genus, offering species adapted to a range of natural and constructed environments. Catherine Acanya of Living Roofs Incorporated is a landscape architect based in North Carolina. Her sedge combinations survive the tough conditions on green roofs, which are designed to capture water and drain quickly. Plants there must withstand periodic inundation by rainstorms and long periods of dryness in between. They need to stand up to the daytime heat in southeastern summers and to the high nighttime temperatures that can zap plants' reserves. On the ground, one of Acanya's favorite combos, Texas sedge, C. texanus, zones 5 to 9, nodding onion, Allium serenum, zones 4 to 8, and hairy beard tongue, Penstemon hirsutus, zones 4 to 7, translate well to hot, dry spots like the edges of pathways and the upper edges of rain gardens. A large proportion of carex species occur naturally in moist or wet environments. Bentley Ruggles, a landscape architect, also based in North Carolina, uses eastern narrow-leaf sedge, C. amphibola, zones 3 to 9, on wet sites in combination with the upright architectures of soft rush, Juncus effusus, zones 4 to 9, and blue flag iris, Iris versicolor, zones 3 to 9. Ruggles looks for plants that will thrive in saturated, low-oxygen soils. These and other moisture-loving species are useful at the edge of a pond or stream, in a drainage ditch, or near the base of a downspout. When there are large areas to cover or plant bullies to counter, some of the larger colonizing species, like fox sedge, C. vulpinida, zones 3 to 8, can give gardeners an edge. Friends in low places. Most of the sedges readily available to home gardeners are short, usually 3 feet or lower in height. These can be combined with low-growing perennials to provide benefit beyond what mulch or turf grass can offer. They help suppress weeds, slow and clean storm water, increase water filtration, and support wildlife. Many species of sedges host caterpillars and provide food cover and nesting sites for birds and small mammals. When it comes to gardening for wildlife, sedges help create soft landings for pollinators and beneficial insects. According to pollinator conservationist Heather Holm, who developed the soft landings concept with environmental education group Neighborhood Greening, many insect species spend part of their life cycle in trees and then drop to the ground to continue their development. Landing on a barren hardscape can be their end. Diverse native plantings under native trees provide critical habitat and shelter a soft landing that gives them the environment they need to survive. With sedges anchoring the ground layer, other perennials fill in and get a chance to show off their flowers. Green and Gold, Chrysogium virginianum, zones 5 to 9, Golden Ragwort, Pachera aurea, zones 3 to 8, Eastern Columbine, Aquilegia canadensis, zones 3 to 8, and Dwarf Crested Iris, Iris cristata, zones 3 to 9, are colonizers that have persistent basal foliage. They flower in spring, and that basal foliage holds ground across the entire year. I use ground-covering perennials along with woodland phlox, Phlox divaricata, zones 3 to 8, to ramp up the spring floral display in combination with favorites Cherokee sedge, C. cherokinesis, zones 6 to 9, and rosy sedge, C. rosea, zones 3 to 8. The combinations adapt well to mixed sun and shade, a big deal when gardening under mature trees. Someone to look up to. In sunnier habitats, sedges tend to grow in climates where temperatures are cooler, where there's consistent moisture, or tucked beneath shrubby plants and taller perennials. Whether it's sun or shade, carex are expert minglers, making them the ideal underplanting for taller perennials. Arkansas Blue Star, Amsonia hubrecti, zones 5 to 8, and False Wild Indigo, Baptisia australis, zones 3 to 9, have a big presence in the garden. Eastern Woodland Sedge, C. blanda, zones 4 to 8, and Eastern Narrow Leaf Sedge, C. amphibola, zones 3 to 9, are all excellent fillers for underneath these taller perennials, especially in mixed shade areas. These sedges spread readily by seed, so make sure you put them where you want them and where you'd like more. Muskingum sedge, C. muskingumensis, zones 4 to 8, is at home in consistently moist areas and has a gentle spreading habit. Its palm-like foliage contrasts beautifully with the broad foliage and bright flowers of purple coneflower, Echinacea purpurea, zones 3 to 8, and compact cultivars of jopai weed, Etrocaium, such as E. dubium, Little Joe, zones 3 to 8. Foliage flex. Sedge combinations are also an opportunity to focus on foliage. A mix of textures, fine foliage, bold foliage, different leaf shapes and sizes, provides visual contrast and allows you to create compositions with layers of interest beyond flowers and colors. Plantings that are primarily foliage-driven retain their appeal throughout the growing season. They also give the viewer's eye a place to rest. They're soothing and yet interesting enough to be engaging. Ferns are a classic foliage plant, an excellent companion for sedges. The delicate fronds of lady fern, Anthurium phylex feminea, zones 3 to 8, play beautifully with the narrow blades of Appalachian sedge, C. Appalachia, zones 3 to 8. Both do well in rich, moist, well-drained soils. In drier sites, try white tinge sedge, Calbicons, zone 3 to 8, and Christmas fern, Polystichum acrostoides, zone 3 to 9. Northern maidenhair, Adiantum pedantum, zones 3 to 8, has lacy foliage and thin black stems. It forms a lovely melange of texture with the broad, bluish leaves of blue bunny sedge. See Laxicolmus hob, zones 4 to 8. And the plump rosettes of woodland stonecrop, Sedum turchinatum, zones 4 to 8. In a heavy foliage combo, the broader blade sedges contribute linearity with a visual boldness that feels lush. Like bunny blue, thin fruit sedge, C. phlacosperma, zones 5 to 8, has wide bluish leaves and is tougher than it looks. Plantain leaf sedge, C. plantanagia, zones 3 to 8, is one of my favorites. Wide, dimpled leaves earn it the alternative common name of seersucker sedge. Mix these bold texture sedges with the showy foliage of alum root, Hichera, or foam flower, Tiarella. Add white wood aster, Eurybia divarcata, zones 3 to 8, for quick coverage and late season blooms. An easy harmony. Finding good companions starts with matching a sedge to the site and your landscape goals. Right plant, right place, and then branching out. Whether you're creating soft landings, filling in around taller perennials, or building foliage combinations, the backup singers will be there to tie it together and help your garden shine. This article is accompanied by an inset of Carex combinations. Try these 2 or 3 plant mixtures in a challenging spot. For full shade to part shade in wet soil, Cherokee sedge. A 10 to 12 inch species with rich green foliage, plus golden ragwort, a semi-evergreen ground cover with dark heart-shaped leaves and tall stalks of yellow flowers in spring, plus wild strawberry, a cool season ground cover with spring flowers and early summer fruits. For sun or shade and dry soil, golden star sedge. A compact species that grows as a tidy tuft of bright green leaves, plus Robin's plantain, an aster-like perennial with white flowers rising above a clump of paddle-shaped leaves in spring. For shade or wet soil, creek sedge, a foot-tall species with a decidedly fountain-like habit, plus green and gold. A mat-forming perennial with daisy-like yellow flowers that repeat from spring to fall. And finally, for shade and dry to moist soil, try creeping sedge, an evergreen species with strap-like blue-green leaves, plus white wood aster, a sprawling perennial with heart-shaped leaves and abundant whitish flowers in late summer, plus heartleaf aster. An upright plant with purple-blue flowers from late summer to fall. This article, Just Add Carex, Sedges Make Valuable Companions for Showier Perennials, by Shannon Curry, in the March to April 2024 issue of Horticulture Magazine. That's all the time we have for this week's Green Thumb. I'm Samantha Forbes for the Virginia Voice. This program was brought to you through the generous support of Magster.com. Green Thumb airs on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock and again on Wednesday mornings at 7. It's also available at any time, on demand, at www.virginiavoice.org.